This series of messages on the family of God are really, I believe, intended to be an encouragement to our heart, to be thankful that we're part of the family of God. Kind of goes along with that song that Amy picked out, "Tis So Sweet." It is also "Tis So Sweet" along those lines to be part of the family of God, right? The song, "The Family of God," which was written by Bill and Gloria Gaither, if you didn't know that. We sang it as the invitation last week, but the verse goes, "You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear." Second verse, "From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong." Amen. And then the chorus goes, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God." As we continue looking at this sermon series on the family of God, this is part two. And I might tell you, even though we use the terminology family of God, it's not found specifically in the Bible. But there are a number of terms that clearly indicate that we're part of the family. For instance, in this age of grace, we are quite often, the Bible is addressed to brethren. Brethren. I don't think the word cistern is in there, but the implication is that if we know Jesus, we're a family. We are a family. And what we started to do last week was look at different verses that indicate that we're part of the family of God, and then try to learn a little bit about that family of God that we hold so dear. Last week, point number one was we can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. As I said quite clearly and bluntly, I think, I wouldn't call it a family of God. I'd call it a family of doom if there was not the resurrection. Because if you think about it, even if we had a family gathering like this and we're family, we've trusted Jesus, but guess what? That didn't get you anywhere. That's when you die, you're just going to be dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know, if that's all there was, it still would be kind of gloomy, don't you think? I mean, I see some of you getting old. Do you? I just love to encourage people's hearts. In the 6.5 years I've been here, some of you have aged, but I got news for you, I have too. Putting up with Tim and others in the church and Randy and, oh, golly. I'm sure there's more gray hairs than what it used to be. But we can be part of the family of God and be proud of that, in a sense, happy about that because of the resurrection. And we looked at a verse that referred to that and referred to, in particular, to brethren. But I'm thankful we're not a family of doom. We're the family of God. And this is not all there is. We're going to spend eternity together. We might as well decide to get along now because we're going to spend eternity together in heaven. Second thing we looked at last week, we enter the family of God by being saved. We looked at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, where we're called the children of God. And it talks about entering or becoming children of God by faith. By faith. There's really no other way to get into the family of God than by being saved, being born again. And aren't you thankful that we can get into the family of God, be a child of God, because of putting our faith in Jesus and because of what he did for us? Now, wouldn't it be something if we had an entrance test? You know, we'd give you a test, and if you passed that test or scored a certain score on it, you could be part of the family of God. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't, I don't know about that. or it's based upon an IQ test, or it's based upon how much money. I really am thankful that we enter the family of God by being saved. And the gospel message is a simple message. It really is. God loved us. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Resurrected back to life. We put our faith and trust in Jesus. We're saved. Meaning it from the heart. How long did that take? About 20 seconds? Simple. But so many people miss it. Or they choose not to take that because of their own pride. So we can be part of the family of God because of the resurrection. Family of God, not family of doom. Second, that verse was John 20, verse 17. Second, from last week, we enter the family of God by being saved. Galatians 3, 26. Thirdly, from last week, we can be part of the family of God because of God's love. We're called in 1 John 3, 1, sons of God. And it talks about what manner of love we've been shown. Remember I sang that little chorus, Behold What Manner of Love? That's the type of love. We can be part of the family of God because of what God did for us in sending his son Jesus. And we'd be up a creek. We'd be in a lot of trouble without. Now tonight, going to look at going down the list here a little bit. We're talking about the family of God. Point number four in this sermon series, we can love others in the family of God because we love God and keep his commandments. Let's see, that verse is 1 John 5, verse 2. 1 John 5, verse 2. The one in reference to God's love was 1 John 3, 1. I may have misquoted that, but 1 John 5, 2 is where we're at right now. 1 John 5, 2, the point number 4, the point we're looking at tonight. We can love each other in the family of God because we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John 5, 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God. There's a reference. There's the reference to family. You know, we know that we love the children of God. Guess what? When we love God and keep his commandments. Now, that might be a little bit like, what exactly is that saying? I believe it's saying that the wellspring from which we get our love for one another starts with our love for God. And really, if we have a problem with loving one another, there's probably a problem with us loving God the way that we should. Remember, the first and greatest commandment when asked is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So that's number one. Number two is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the number two commandment, and it follows number one. So really, if we love God the way that we should, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You know, churches go through troubles sometimes and disagreements. And unfortunately, I've heard of this, shouting matches and things like that. Fists being thrown in churches. You say, preacher, you got to be kidding me. And then people resort. I've thought about this. You can pretty much tell who's on the right side by the methods they use to fuss. Seriously. Because I look back in disagreements that have happened in churches that I pastored, and you can pretty much tell who's on the right side by the way that they conduct themselves. Because if they bringing in all the world's ways and fussing and arguing and yelling and screaming and getting on the phone and talking and gossiping and all, you know, you say, pretty good chance that you're on the wrong side of this issue, right? But when we love God the way we should, we're keeping his commandments, that's when we can love one another in the family of God the way that we should. I say that to say a lot of times when we don't love each other the way we should, it's because we don't love God the way we should. It shows. And it really shows when you don't love God as much as you should. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not standing up here and saying, well, I got the lock on this. I love God more than any of y'all. No, I'm not saying that. I really know that my love for God could grow. And I pray that quite often, that I'll love you more, God, and I'll love people more. Because I got a ways to go, don't y'all? But when we love God, that's where it flows to love one another. And it's kind of like the first step of loving others in the family of God is by loving God himself and doing what he wants us to do. You know, our love for God is kind of like a spring. Have you ever had a spring somewhere on your property? If you don't want that air to get wet, that spring can be a little bit of a nuisance, but if the water's pretty good, it's pretty good to have, right? I remember up near Babcock State Park, there's one place, there's a wide spot in the road, and I think there's even a sign. A lot of people stop there and get this spring water that comes off the hill to make either coffee or just to drink because it's so good. I remember Hawksnest State Park, you know the bridge, when you look at Hawksnest and you look down and there's a railroad bridge. Y'all remember that? You've seen it? It's plastered a lot of places. That's where my dad worked. That's where I worked. That's my home area. And sometimes we'd go across that railroad bridge because there was a good spring over there. And, you know, you just walk across there for a long ways and get all hot and sweaty and thirsty. And then like, ooh, that tastes good. But guess what? From that spring of loving God, we should be able to love one another. You know, we ought to drink of that well and say, God, I love you so much. And when we love him so much, it's easier to love one another. You know, we're all a little bit weird. We all got our quirks, and some more than others. I'm addressing that to the person who's furthest back on this level of the church. I said on this level. We don't count Angela, she's up on the balcony. But you know, part of loving one another, that's part of the sweet part of being in the family of God, don't you think? As we talked about, you know, when you have a prayer concern, to know that someone's going to take that serious and pray about it. And if you have a struggle, that you could call someone and talk to them and say, you know, I got a problem here. Can you help me with this? Or can you help me to see this right, because I'm having a hard time with this. Just being there. If there's needs, being there for one another. And that grows, and that relationship with one another will never be right if we're not right with God. And we're not loving God the way we should. You know, the Bible says that they'll know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. Remember that one song at Middleburn Baptist? They'll know we are Christians by our love. Y'all ever heard that song? It's not in our hymn book, but it was in our hymn book. There, it seemed like every time we asked for a request, we know that Steve, another Steve, was going to raise his hand and say, can we sing this one? They'll know we are Christians by our love. And again, that starts with the Lord. And this is not meant to be mean or throwing stones at anybody. But part of the reason why people don't want to come to church is because they don't love God the way they should. And therefore, they don't love God's people the way they should. Because last time I checked, if you love somebody, you want to be there. Right? And we should want to be in church. It's not like, you know, here's a checklist, you know, on the wall. You know, to be spiritual, you know, you got to check. You know, I read my Bible, read a whole chapter. So there, check. I prayed for 2 minutes. Whew, I got that one down. You know, I'm supposed to speak to my unfriendly neighbors. Check, did that. Look, you know, and it's, you know, going to church. Check. I must be spiritual. It's not that way. Really, it's not that way. The Christian life is not that way. The Christian life is not a set of rules. It's a relationship. But if the relationship is right, guess what? Most of the things that we're checking here just kind of check themselves. And I'm saying part of the reason people don't come to church the way they should, and that's pretty relevant because we're on Sunday night and we got a lot of empty seats, is because we don't love God the way we should. If we love God and kept his commandments the way we should, we'd want to be here to worship him, and we'd want to be here to love on each other. Tonight, Family of God Part 2, we just looked at, we can love each other in the family of God because we love God and keep his commandments. It seems like to me from that passage of Scripture that the source of our love for one another in the family of God as children of God, again, is our love for God, is where it starts. Point number 5, second point tonight, we should do good especially to those in the family of God. We should do good, especially to those in the family of God. If you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now in our sermon series on money and giving and things like that, not too far back, I'm sure that we referenced this verse, but Galatians chapter, let's see, verse 10 of chapter 6, Galatians 6 and verse 10. The point is, we can love each other in the family of God. Excuse me. We should do good especially, this is the point, to those in the family of God. We should do good especially to those in the family of God. Notice what it says here. As we have therefore opportunity. Now again, you got to think for just a moment. You don't have to do a whole bunch of research on this to figure this out. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the Galatian church, the local church at Galatia. Got that? We are a local church in Clarksburg, right? And he says to these Christians, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, that's pretty good, don't you think? I mean, are we supposed to do bad? The opposite, I guess, that would be bad. We're supposed to do bad to some people. No, not that's not a Christian. But it says unto all men, and it says especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, a reference to the being part of the family of God. And as we said last week, the family of God is more than just people at Oakmount. It really, the family of God is everyone who's trusted Jesus as our Savior. We become part of the family of God. But here's a little picture, and here's our little mini family of God as we trod through this old world, right? So, we should do good especially to those in the family of God. It says unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Have you ever heard the expression, charity begins at home? we're more apt to help family in general, aren't we? I mean, Connie, you've been going to Mannington a lot, right? Because they're family, biological family. Well, when we get together, we are spiritual family. We're part of the family of God. And, you know, sometimes people get a little mixed up about what is the role of the church in helping the poor around the church. And I know I preached a whole message on that. Yeah, we help what we can, but I like to say, and this is true, the role of the church, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic, the role of the church is not to help people financially. That's not the role of the church. Now, we can do that, and that might open up doors. The role of the church is to lead people to Jesus. It's a spiritual mission, not a physical mission, but a spiritual mission. You know, I mean, we could probably go around and always find somebody to help. And again, I'm not saying we're supposed to be closed-minded or closed-hearted or whatever, but our primary role as a church is a spiritual role. And usually, in a lot of cases, if we can get the spiritual right in an individual's heart and life, get them saved, right with God, the financial needs might just kind of take care of themselves, right? Does that make sense? But it says that we should do good to all men, especially to those in the family of God. Look around. Look around at one another. You must have looked in the back. we might have our differences. We might look a little different, right? We might have a little different accent, right? We might be from Southern West Virginia. We might talk a little different. We might think a little different. We may not look the same. But guess what? We're family, and really, helping one another ought to start right here in this local body. You know, people want to feel being part of a family. Really, they do. And a lot of people have a terrible home life or a terrible biological family. I mean, as far as there's always good parts, but they don't feel loved. They don't feel appreciated. But when they come to church, this is really where we ought to kick it in. Really. And I know I can be guilty because I'm always running around doing something, you know, making a copy of this or making sure that's working or this or whatever. But really, when we ask how you're doing, we in the family of God ought to really listen. I know you said, "Preacher, I just remember 2 weeks ago I tried to tell you how I was doing and you was going that way." Well, sorry. I'll try to do better. But the point is, we really, if there's somebody that should listen, it ought to be people that are part of the family of God right here at Oakmount. And when people come and visit us, and we've been having several visitors here lately, we ought to go out of our way. Really, we should. To make them feel welcome. You know, some of the folks that are visiting, I'm sure, know Jesus as their Savior. They're part of the family of God too. Some may come that are as lost as can be, but guess what? It's our opportunity to love on them, to encourage them. But let me tell you, we should do good to all men. And when they walk through that door, what an opportunity. But especially to those who are the household of faith. Be kind to one another. If you're hurting and the church is not helping you through your hurt, I think the church probably needs to step it up a bit. Or you need to let us know what's going on, because we're not mind readers around here. You know what I mean? Hello? Y'all still out there? This should be a place to perk you up and pep you up. You know, it challenges us. The Word of God does that, challenges us, but it also ought to encourage us, and we ought to be an encouragement to one another. Excuse me. One more point tonight, probably, then we're done. Tonight we've looked at the family of God. We can love each other in the family of God because we love God and keep His commandments. It seems to start there with our love of God. Point number five, the second point tonight, we should do good especially to those in the family of God. Good to all men, but especially those in the family of God. And last point, and this is a pretty big point, shouldn't probably take more than a couple hours to cover this. Point number six tonight, we are to be unified in the family of God. We are to be unified in the family of God. Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. To me, it was a matter of turning one page from Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. Two pages. Verses 19 to 22. The point is, we are to be unified in the family of God. Notice what we're supposed to be unified around, okay? It says in verse 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Isn't that pretty cool? We're no longer, it was talking about the Jews and Gentiles and strangers and foreigners. And there's a lot of people in this world that can't seem to fit in anywhere. And they feel like strangers. They have no purpose in life. But if you know Jesus, guess what? We're fellow citizens with the saints, and we're of the household of God. And our series is entitled The Family of God. But notice what unifies us in the verses that follow. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple to the Lord." So it's changed analogies here from a family of God to a building. And it says, we're like a building. All the parts fit together, we're framed together, we're built up together, and it's a holy temple of God. Do you think God is happy when we have sweet fellowship here? Do you think God is happy when we get together and we care about one another? Do you think God is happy when we share our prayer concerns and we pray for one another? Absolutely. It's like that building that's fitting together perfect. Have you ever tried to work on someone else's mess of a building? And it's not level, it's not vertical, it's not level, and it's a mess. But it says when we are the family of God, the way we're supposed to be, the household, it says in this verse, the household of God, God is happy with it. Because it says, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, verse 22, ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, the family of God, the presence of God is in the family of God, isn't it? The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we get together. You know, I want to see God do some big things in our church, don't you? I want to see God moving in the hearts and lives of people, and I think God's doing it. He's always done it in this church, I'm sure, and he's done it since I've been here, but I think he's still doing it, and I want him to turn it up a notch or two. Seriously, I want the Word of God and the presence of God to be so sweet that when you walk in that door, like, whoa, something going on here. And part of that's being part of the family of God and that building that's built together to the glory of God. It says we are in holy temple of the Lord. We're built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Does God have a harder time being in our midst and being in our presence and working in our heart when we're disunified? When we are disunified? When we're not together? Absolutely. I think part of our problem in our church is we're not unified the way we should be. And so God said, boy, I'd really like to bless them, but they're just not together. They're going here and there. And the devil loves to cause disunity. He loves it. Loves it, loves it, loves it. But what are we unified around? And this really is huge. You say, preacher, I pretty much slept through everything. I've learned the art of keeping my eyes open and really just kind of nodding off. You probably don't even know it, but if that's you, guess what? Right now, it's time to perk up and listen up. Because I just made the point, we are to be unified in the family of God, but what are we to be unified around? It says, verse 20, right after it says, we're the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, some people misinterpret this. They say, see, we're built on the prophets, and we're built on the prophets and the apostles, and that's the foundation of the church. They are not the foundation of the church. I can guarantee you it's the teaching of the prophets and the apostles. If I had some man as the foundation of this church, we'd be in trouble. Can you hear me? Because what needs to be the foundation of any building, any church, any family of God, in little mini version right here at Oak Mound, we need to be unified around the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Where do we find the teachings of the apostles and the prophets? Ding, 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 the Word of God. You see, our unity, I'm not sure it's true unity, and I'm sure it won't last if it's not built upon our faithfulness and our trust in the Word of God. And we are unified as a family of God around the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God. And I make no apology for it. I'm a doctrinal purist. You know, say, preacher, you know, probably if you'd loosen up some of those beliefs of your church and just kind of take those articles of faith and just kind of, you know, just mark through them a little bit. You know, some of those modern issues about social issues, just take those things out. You might be able to get more people to come in this church. Boy, that's a mistake. You say what unifies us and keeps us together is the Word of God. And I have no problem with saying this is what we believe. And if you believe it, praise the Lord, you come and join this church, we're good with you. We want you to be here. But if not, you say, I don't believe that, preacher. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Well, I'm not going to throw a stone at you. I'm not even going to spit on you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, well, praise the Lord. I want you to keep coming to church. You know, we're not going to shun you. Doors are always open to you. But we believe that we have a commonality around the Word of God and the beliefs of the Word of God as it's put there, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the teachings that are found in the Word of God, and we're not going to compromise on that. And some churches, I like the way we do it. I really do. And y'all were doing it before I got here. I might be a little bit more thorough in articles of faith. I know Bill sat through a bunch of those meetings with new members. We read what we believe in each paragraph, basically. And some of y'all that went through this with me, you know this. And I say, you agree with that? Yes, sir. And then we read the next one. It takes a little bit of time, doesn't it, Bill? But we go through and we say, do y'all believe that? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying there's not saved people that don't agree with us. But if you want to stay where you are as a church, you need to make sure that people that join this church agree with what we agree with as a church. Seriously. And these aren't new doctrines. It's like, well, we just came up with that a few years ago. No, we didn't. God came up with it in his word. And our articles of faith are based upon the word of God. And that's something that unifies us. And I'm telling you, some churches want to let that gate open a little bit. You know, well, that's okay. You don't really believe that's okay. Come on. Folks, you're asking for trouble because I'm telling you what's going to happen. I've done left preaching and started the middle here. Then let me tell you what's going to happen. When you start letting people in that don't agree with our doctrine, I mean, I'm seriously, I will look you straight in the eye and tell you, God would be more happy with us being small in number but faithful to the word than being huge in number and unfaithful to the word. What's going to happen, you're going to let, what name? Someone shout out a man's name to me. Joel. don't shout that name out at me. That makes me too upset. I'll just tell you, Joel Osteen is a false prophet. He is. He's a false prophet. And I'm not picking. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you the truth. As your pastor, as the shepherd of this flock, if you're listening to Joel Osteen, you best just stop it. It's not so much what he says, it's what he doesn't say. And if someone can't clearly say that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven, he is not a preacher. He is not a preacher. He is a false prophet. So this has got that settled. But I was talking about naming someone who wants to join our church. Let's call him Bob. How about Bob? Is that good? Bob? Bob wants to join the church. And Bob doesn't agree with us on several of the articles of our faith. Maybe one in particular. But we say, oh, come on, Bob. We want to build our church. We're praying for increase. Come on, Bob. You can be a member. We say that. You know what's going to happen? On that one issue or that two issue or that three issue, Bill's going to teach a Sunday school class on it according to the Bible and according to what we believe as a church. Or John's going to teach a Sunday school class up here. Or I'm going to preach a sermon and it's going to hit one of those things that he don't agree with. And then you know what's going to happen, don't you? I'm going to be up there preaching. I'm looking out at Bob and I'm thinking, Bob must be sick. Bob must be having a conniption. He's getting all red in the face. You know, the veins are popping out in his neck. You know, what's going on here? And then old Bob can cause a lot of problems. And believe me, you don't have to be right to get a following. And then, I'm telling you, it's important what we believe. We are unified as a family of God around the Bible, around the teachings of the Word of God. And if we lose that, you might as well start counting the days. How has this church been around for 50 plus years? By sticking to the Word of God, right? Now, I don't know your history intricately. You know, maybe there was times it was stronger on the Word of God and weaker on the Word of God. I don't know. But our articles of faith have been around for a while. So let me tell you, if we're going to continue in this crazy world where people don't really care about God, and people are less concerned about worshiping God and almost totally overlook the value of getting together as a church to worship God on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If we're going to keep on going, it's going to be because we stick to the Word of God and follow whatever God wants us to do. Now, I'm not too worried about you not following the Word of God while I'm here, because if we're not, I'm going to get us back on course. That's my responsibility as a shepherd and leader of this church. But I'm not going to always be here. I mean, I don't know how many days I got left on this earth I'm talking about. And none of us do. I mean, who knows? I might live to be 116 or something and I'll still be up there going, hey, would someone help me up? And I'll be leaning on the pulpit like, I don't know. And you might get rid of me before that. But the point is, we got to stick to the Word of God. That's not popular. But that's one of the unifying factors. I'd say one of the most important, only behind our relationship with Jesus, that binds us together. That's what it says there. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ. Here it is, himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're part of the family of God. And what unifies us is we're born again. We know Jesus. And the second thing that unifies us is the fact that we believe the Word of God. and we stick to the doctrines of the Bible. It's important. It's what holds us together. I want to ask Bill, as the expert in this, do you remember square hay bales? I really don't get. I mean, I'm not a farmer. Never was a farmer. You know, put some hay up. I don't know, a time or two, but maybe more. I don't recollect all that. I put unpleasant thoughts out of my brain. That's a lot of work, hot and sweaty. But what holds that hay together, Bill? A square bale in particular. I'm not familiar with round bales. I think the idea is the same, but especially I'm more familiar with what they call square bales. What is it? Twine, right? Baler twine? And what happens if you cut the twine? Falls apart, right? If you need a mental picture of what holds us together, normally, as best I can tell with a square, that's what I was going to say. I don't know why they call it square, because it's really rectangular. But anyway, why? What holds it together is two pieces of baler twine, two, right? And I think, according to this passage, there are two things that hold us together as a church, as a family of God: Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the doctrines of the Word of God. And if we want to do this and split up and be disunified, we can quit following the Word of God. It's important. Tonight we've talked about the family of God. And the ground that we've covered tonight, I'll repeat the points. We can love others in the family of God because we love God and keep His commandments. It's kind of like the starting point to love one another is if we love God the way we should, we'll love one another in the family of God the way we should. Second point tonight, number five overall, we should do good to all men, especially to those in the family of God. And we could probably all do a little better job of looking around and see who needs us. Seriously. Maybe asking the right questions and say, yeah, how can we help you? You know, how can we encourage you? Because we need to do good to all men, but especially to those in the family of God. And in this little picture of the family of God right here called Oak Mound, the last point we looked at, we are to be united and unified in the family of God through the Bible teachings and our doctrine, what we believe. You know, that's basically what they said in the early church. I didn't turn there, but in Acts 2:42, it talks about that they were in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So that's how the church started, and that's where we need to stay. In the teachings of the Bible and as Christ as our Savior. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for the family of God. So let me ask you. Actually, the same questions I asked you the other night, I wanted to ask them again. Number one, are you part of the family of God? Are you sure that you're part of the family of God? If you're listening into our live stream tonight, are you part of the family of God? In other words, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If not, there's no better time than right now. You have no promise in the next 5 minutes. So I'd encourage you, if you're listening in or you're here tonight when we give the invitation, I'd encourage you, call out to the Lord. You know, if you're here, come and see me and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to talk to you about it." But if you're listening in, if you're sitting in your recliner, I guess the Super Bowl's already half partway and underway, but wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're listening in, you know, you right where you are, you can call out to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross and paid my sin debt and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior." Nothing about the words or the specific words, but it's a decision of your heart. If you've not done that, I encourage you to do that wherever you might be. Question number two is pretty relevant, that is, to the message as a Christian. Do you appreciate the family of God? Do you appreciate the family of God? Honestly, I'm sure that some people, even at Oak Mound, might say, it's a pretty good church. Yeah. You know, I just don't really appreciate it the way it should, the way I should. And maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, yeah, I appreciate it some, but, you know, there's some things. And, you know, probably we could look in the mirror and say, well, how can I contribute? contribute more. And then maybe if we contribute more, I'm not talking about financially, but to the family of God, maybe God would return that to you. You know what I'm saying? If you get in there and start loving on people and encouraging people and appreciating people, maybe you'd feel that coming right back at you. Do you appreciate the family of God? Question number three, do you thank God regularly for the family of God? Do you thank God regularly for the family of God? Right here, Oak Mound. Last question, do you fully support this mini picture of the family of God called Oak Mound? Do you fully support it? Is your heart, are your efforts into this family of God, this little picture right here of the family of God we call Oak Mound? If God is speaking to your heart in that area, I'd encourage you. The altar is always open, okay? As we sing this song, if God is speaking to your heart in any area, if you have a concern you want to bring to the altar, that's a good time to do it. Praying for a lost loved one, this is a good time to come to the altar and do it. Just know that the altar is always open. Let's bow for a word of prayer just before we sing our invitational hymn. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us through your Son Jesus to be part of the family of God. We thank you, Lord, for this little picture of the family of God right here in this local church. Lord, help us to appreciate it. Help us, Lord, to regularly thank you for it. And Lord, help us to do our best for this little family of God and encourage and support one another. What a blessing. What a blessing the family of God is. We love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.